It was a Saturday. The day had been like every other Saturday, except that I was shaken by the end of the day. My name is Sarah Jameson, and this is the story I never wanted to tell. Before I begin, do like and subscribe. The day started with me waking up in my small, tightly packed bed. The bed was so small, it felt like an uncomfortable hug sometimes. I stayed in bed for a while until I couldn't endure the tight fit anymore. With a little push, I moved my body to a sitting position to face the walls that closed off my room from the others. The first thing I did after getting into the sitting position was reach for my phone by the side of the bed. On picking it up, I saw a notification for 7 missed calls. Lucy, I thought before I tapped the button that revealed who the caller was. I wasn't wrong, not that I had any doubts that I was. I stopped myself from pressing the dial button, tossed the phone back on the bed, and contented myself to look at the walls of my small room. I didn't have the strength to talk to her. I worked at a marketing company downtown, and anyone who worked my position in the past would tell you that the job was no walk in the park. The previous day at work was a nightmare. It had seen me return home by 10 p.m. Working there was itself a nightmare. I would have liked nothing more than changing location, but finding a job in this city was a nightmare. I went back to sleep after that. I had woken up to even more missed calls from Lucy. I picked up the phone and called Lucy. The voice that came from the other side was as energetic as it always was. This was how Lucy was, an endless pool of energy. But she was my endless pool of energy. "Hello," I said, hoping that she had used up most of her excess energy with what I would describe to be the introduction to the call. She replied to my hello with a reply that wasn't as loud as her initial hello, but was still loud and very much on brand. "You called me earlier in the day. I'm sorry I didn't answer. I was out cold. Didn't even hear my phone ring." "You should quit that job of yours," Lucy said. "That's easier said than done. There are hardly any jobs." "That's why you need someone to take care of you, is what I think. You know what?" Of course I knew what. Lucy had been going on about this new club that had opened somewhere in Mid-City. It was all the rage, at least. That is what Lucy would have me believe. "What?" I asked, just to be certain that we weren't talking about different things. "You know the club I've been trying to get you to attend? You're coming with me," Lucy said with an air of finality. I was about to complain when she cut me off. "I mean, it's a Saturday. You don't have to worry about work or anything. You could go, get back, and sleep everything off before Monday. The others are coming too. You don't want to disappoint your friends, do you? Who knows, maybe you could even get lucky. Find someone to fuck the senses out of you." "I don't know," I said, a last attempt to try to get out. "I do know, and you better believe you are coming," Lucy said. Luckily, Rebecca and Daisy both showed up on time, just as Lucy said they would. We moved over to the club. It had a strange name that made me feel weird. The Gold Digger. That wasn't the only strange thing. The people in line were dressed in clothes and makeup that made them seem otherworldly. Lucy and Daisy laughed before Lucy replied it was normal in clubs everywhere. While I wasn't convinced, I stood in line because Lucy was more experienced in the city's nightlife. We all stood in line until we were at the front of the line. "Wow, wait, where do you think you're going?" the bouncer with no neck said. I was 25 years old, but for some reason my face and my body had not grown up any more past 18. I explained to him and showed him my ID before we could enter. "This is what we are talking about," Lucy said as we got into the club. I wasn't sure if those were her exact words because of the blaring music, but I knew she had said something to that effect. Rebecca and Daisy went off to dance, leaving me with Lucy, who dragged me to the bar to put something in our stomach. That was when I remembered Cecil. She and Lucy used to be good friends, until they weren't. "Lucy," I shouted at her, "whatever happened to Cecil?" Lucy looked back at me with a look that suggested she didn't know who I was talking about. "Come on, you know Cecil. Two of you are always going out, clubbing and whatnot." "Oh, Cecil, I don't know what to say. We just stopped being friends. We were drinking when Lucy poked me." "You see that man? He's been watching you ever since we entered," she said. "I'm not interested," I replied. "Come on. Do you know who that is? That's Alex Perez, one of the richest men in the city. Think about what you stand to gain if you play your cards right." I shrugged off her suggestion as I wasn't a prostitute. I moved towards the bathroom. When I was walking, I wasn't sure, but I saw a man staring at me with an intense look in his eyes. I had tried doing a double take, but the person had blended into the crowd. It was when I sat down, I heard footsteps hovering over the stall I was in that caused the pee to cease. "Is anyone there?" My voice echoed through the empty bathroom. I stared through the gap in the door, but couldn't see anyone. I couldn't continue peeing. I was too freaked out for that, so I ran out of the bathroom and called Lucy. "Where's Rebecca and Daisy? We need to leave now." "Why? The party just got started." "Someone was following me." The look on Lucy's face changed as I explained that a strange man was following me, but the look disappeared when I couldn't tell who the person was. Lucy laughed as I shook my head, not realizing that I was even that drunk to begin with. "I still think we need to leave," I said to her, but she had doubled down on hooking us up with Alex Perez and his friend. I disagreed, but Lucy tugged until she convinced me to stay. We drank several shots. It was on the sixth one. I felt a hand grab me from the back. I looked back, and it was nothing. There was no one there. "All right," I thought to myself. "I am that drunk." "Will you give it a chance then?" Lucy asked. "Give what a chance?" I asked. Lucy stood and pointed to Alex Perez, and even thinking about it for a second, I decided that it couldn't do much harm. It had been a while since I had flirted, but it worked, and Alex invited all of us back to the mansion. We all got into his limousine and began the trip. Lucy, Daisy, and Rebecca were still going on about my game when I noticed something. "Lucy! Lucy!" I shouted. "What, girl? Why are you stressing? We're about to party with Alex Perez." "Isn't that his building we just passed, though?" I asked. Lucy agreed and walked forward and knocked on the glass of a limousine, but there was no reply. I stepped forward and rapped my knuckle on the black glass. "Come on, girl, don't break the glass. I'm sure there's an explanation for all this." Just then, all the doors locked with a click. I ran back and tried to open the doors. I could hear my heartbeat in my head. It got worse when the black glass rolled down for something to be thrown in. The last thing I could remember before everything went dark was the four of us trying to get the cylindrical object out of the window before it squealed and I fell to the floor. I just laid there with my eyes open, looking at what looked like clouds up above. I couldn't feel my hands or my legs. For some reason I couldn't explain, I was strangely calm about the entire ordeal, while my brain was screaming to my entire body to wake the fuck up from where I was lying and stand to my feet. I didn't really feel the urge to be nervous. I stayed this way, immobilized for quite a long time before I began to hear mutters coming from all directions apart from the one I was looking in. The noise around me had started as just as that, mutters, like the stereotypical noise from a cartoon mouse. For a split second, I had the sensation that I was in a den of mice, but that feeling soon passed, and it was replaced by the calm serenity that had been there before. The noise didn't stay that way for long. I began to hear the voices for just what they were. "Rebecca, is that you?" At least that was what I would have asked before discovering the words were not coming out of my lips. I couldn't freak out. I couldn't talk. Neither could I move. It was almost like I was under anesthesia or some other sort of paralysis-inducing drug. "Yes, yes," I thought to myself as pieces of the night before began to come back. I remembered struggling to escape the limo before the gaseous cylinder was thrown into the room and before it knocked me out. Just then, as the memory entered my mind, a face entered my plane of view. It crept up on me. Even then, my brain hadn't realized it was a face until the third blink. When my brain finally did, I realized the face had blonde hair and a small nose. It was Rebecca. "Rebecca, is that you?" I asked, not expecting the words to come out what they had. "Yes, it is," she replied, pulling me up from the ground where I was. I was hit by a wave of vertigo as my legs touched the floor. I could barely stand, as my legs felt as if they were atrophied from lack of use. "How many days have we been out?" I asked. The only answer I got was the look of fear and confusion on Rebecca's and Daisy's faces. I came to three realizations after looking around. The first thing I noticed was we were in an enclosed space of some kind. The second was that there was a massive screen in the wall in front of us. Third, some cameras were placed in strategic corners of the room. Somebody was watching us. Someone was watching, I kept on thinking to myself. Did I say I noticed three things? There was a fourth that caused my anxiety and fear to shoot up higher than it had been waking up in a strange white room filled with cameras. "Where's Lucy?" I asked. "I don't know," both Daisy and Rebecca said. According to them, we had been the only occupants of the room when they came. It wasn't long after that that I felt the thing, whatever it was that was holding back my complete fear from erupting like a geyser, begin to strain. I could feel the cracks already. I was beginning to struggle for the air I was breathing, and it was just me. There was still air in the room. I was still struggling for air when the room was filled with noise. The large screen on the wall came on to reveal a masked person. The image on the screen caused the three of us to huddle against the opposing wall as though it had some sort of protective power from the person on the screen. There was quiet among the two groups of people. However, the room had gotten even quieter. So quiet that it was hard for me to hear anyone's breath. "It is good to see that everyone is up. Welcome to... Where are we, you monster?" Rebecca shouted, breaking the silence and interrupting the masked figure. The figure laughed and told Rebecca that if she had let them continue, we would have all found out where we were. "This is the gold digger," the masked figure said. "The gold digger," I repeated to myself. The question of if we were back at the club was almost out of my lips when the figure began speaking again. "This is not the club. That is more of a prequel of sorts. This is the main story. Before you interrupt, I shall tell you why you are here." The masked figure explained that we were in that room to take part in an event. During the event, they explained, we were going to be given several tasks to do, and when we were done, we were going to be set free. We refused, but we were not given the chance to voice out our protest, as the screen went dead immediately. It was hard to tell the time, as there was no clock anywhere in sight. It felt like days, and my throat thirsted for water, and my stomach longed for food. We called for help several times, but there was none. We were so thirsty, hungry, and tired that we couldn't get up, not even when the static repeated itself and the screen came on. "It's been 3 days now," the voice from the screen in the walls said. "Would you like to try that again? Are you willing to go through the events now?" the voice asked. We gave a weak yes. Immediately, when we said the word yes, the lights all around the room went dark. The next thing I felt was my body being lifted from the floor. I could barely see as my body was carried through what felt like a narrow corridor into another room, where I began to feel water run over my body. This was followed by rough scrubbing from various angles, with different hands tugging me in them. When the water stopped, everything went dark. I opened my eyes again and saw that we were in a new room, although this one had more cameras than the previous room. We were wearing something that could be best described as a cross between a child ballerina mixed with a latex jacket, like something that could be found in a red room or something, and a tight collar around our neck. The instruction for the first task came soon after from the masked figure on the screen. There was something familiar about the voice. It sounded like... No, it couldn't be, I thought to myself. The instruction was to walk on all fours to the men at the end of the room. We were meant to pick out the treat in the buckets, with nothing but our mouth and teeth, until the buckets on the other side were full. I was going to protest, but I was too tired and too hungry. I bent down and did as I was asked, feeling nothing but hate for Alex Perez and whoever was behind that mask. It took a while, but we finished transferring the treats from one end of the room to the other. We weren't a second done when we were ushered into another room. This room was filled with food that looked like much care was used to prepare it. I could feel my mouth begin to water. The thought of eating was not fully processed when Daisy rushed to grab the food. She didn't make it. She was held back by the leash that was attached to the collar on her neck. We were instructed to take off the latex jackets and to roll over the food, smothering ourselves with it. And it was only then that we were allowed to eat. I was so hungry that even though I didn't want to do it, I did. I did until there was nowhere for the food to go. We were then dragged to the next room with three transparent toilets and laxatives on a stool. I don't like recalling this memory, but we had been forced to take laxatives and wait for it to work. We did. I was put to sleep, and not long after, I woke up in my small, tightly packed bed. I had been gone for a week. I had led the rest to report Alex Perez and our treatment over the weekend. We had been told that there was nothing they could do, and were told to just enjoy the money that appeared in our accounts not too long after we were returned to our rooms. I didn't see Rebecca or Daisy again. I tried to avoid seeing them as much as I could. I even quit my job and moved to another city. I often wonder what happened to Lucy, especially since the voice over the screen sounded like hers.
If my story's reached you, it's too late for me. I've accepted my fate, and I can hold my hands up high in the knowledge that I probably deserve everything that's coming my way. I, like you, have secrets. Secrets that keep me awake at night, living out scenarios where my nearest and dearest discover them and recoil in horror. Like a lot of 20-somethings, I spend far too much time on the internet, mindlessly going from website to website, clicking link after link until I'm lost amongst the IP hidden darker websites that people warn you to stay away from. I have a secret laptop, bought it secondhand from a PC fair. Never entered any of my real details on it, never purchased anything on it with an account that's attached to the real me, and only use it in the dead of night when I want to visit sites that gravitate towards more illegal activities. I love to scroll through the marketplaces and see what people try to sell on the dark web. You wouldn't believe the kind of things I've come across. I've seen more adverts for drugs than you'd believe. Fake passports, fake pregnancy tests, forged documents, adoption opportunities. And the most interesting of all, hitmen. As soon as I saw my first advert for a hitman, my heart began to pump that little bit faster. The idea that I could talk to someone who took people's lives for a living, and one step further flirt with the idea of hiring them to remove any problems in my life. I found myself daydreaming quite often about hiring a hitman to kill one of my neighbors, so I could watch from my window at a safe distance without them knowing. Two doors down lives a douche, who lets his dog out every night and watches as the mutt leaves his mess all over my front lawn. He just watches and does nothing, leaving it for me to deal with. I wanted him gone. The excitement that thought created in me was something else. I began searching more and more for hitmen. I joined multiple message boards where people discussed hitmen, and some even claimed to be hitmen, but I don't think any of them were the real deal. You know how it is. There's only so long you can observe before you take the plunge and get your feet wet. So I posted a message on one of the boards I frequented. I requested more details from a professional killer in the area where I'm from. Didn't take long for people to start commenting. It was easy to spot the trolls, but one comment stood out. When I posted, all I gave was a vague description of where I was from. The comment left was one simple word: Richmond. Richmond is the street I live on. I thought I was being so careful, never to divulge any hint of my real life on this laptop. Yet 12 minutes after posting on that message board, someone had commented, "The street I live on." They were the real deal, there was no doubt about it, and they wanted me to know. Next, a notification came through. I'd received a private message from an unknown user. They invited me to a live stream and told me that if I wanted proof of their capabilities, tonight was the perfect opportunity. My mouth ran dry, and my heart palpitated so hard, I swear it wanted to burst out of my chest. My hands began to shake as I typed out, "Okay," and clicked the link to the live stream. At first, the screen was blank. My reflection, as I sat hunched over the laptop, was the only thing staring back at me. Soon enough, the screen burst into life. I had to give it to him, he was innovative. He'd strapped a GoPro to his head, so we were getting a first-person view of whatever this guy was up to. He looked down at his hand, and he had a mini Bluetooth keyboard in his hand. He began typing. At the bottom of the live feed, his message popped up. Are you ready for this? A flurry of messages appeared underneath. Must not have been the only one watching. Everyone typing yes in eager anticipation. I was excited, still unsure of what I was about to witness. He looked forward and gave us our first real look at his surroundings. He was in a motel hallway. Multiple room doors on either side of the corridor gave his location away. He began walking forward, each step almost silent. He walked with absolute purpose, focused. It wasn't long until he reached the room he was looking for. Taking a small silver pick out of his pocket, he made light work of breaking into the room undetected. We all watched silently as he crept around the unlit room, making his way to the bedroom where we could hear snoring coming from. As he entered the bedroom, I could make out the silhouettes of two adults asleep in the bed. He made his way round to the far side of the bed where a man was sleeping. He glanced at the person next to him. A woman with long blonde hair lay on her side, with her back facing the man. She too was in a deep sleep. I watched with mixed horror and excitement as the killer covered the man's mouth with one hand, causing the man to open his eyes wide in alarm. Before he could even utter a single sound, the killer, with his other hand, slid a blade up through the man's chin, burying it deep into his skull. Blood began to trickle down the knife handle and over the killer's hand as the man began to lightly spasm and go rigid. The chat at the bottom of the screen began to go wild with messages of all caps letters responding of encouragement, followed by more messages urging the man to kill the woman, too. It's been days. I can still see the look on her face as she casually rolled over and hazily opened her eyes and witnessed who I assume was her husband laying there slaughtered. Before she had fully comprehended the situation, she had found herself in the killer's grip. The man slashed the woman's throat, sending an arc of sprayed blood across the bedroom wall and bedsheets. He left the same way he came, silently and without trace. Once he made his way outside and back to his vehicle, a message popped up on screen. Choose our next victim. Direct payment for a specific target, or we spin the wheel for someone in chat. If you were active during tonight's event, your name has been added to the draw, regardless of whether you leave now or not. The chat once again exploded with comments, this time everyone chanting, "Spin that wheel!" like some dark, macabre game show. An animation of a spinning wheel appeared on screen, divided up into sections like a pie, each piece a different color and a username. Mine was highlighted for easy tracking from my computer. I watched with held breath as the wheel spun for what felt like hours. Ever so slowly, the spinning motion began to decrease, coming to a stop. I sat there in numbed silence as my name, circled on the screen, slowly came to a stop under the spin wheel pointer. Users in the chat began to chant my username. Another message appeared on the screen. You have been selected to take part in the next event. You have 7 days to get your affairs in order. Do not attempt to flee, notify the police, or involve loved ones. Fleeing? I will find you. The police cannot protect you. I will kill everyone you try to get involved. Thank you for watching. The next few days, I walked around in a daze. When people spoke to me, it was as if I was trying to listen to them from the bottom of a swimming pool. My head and chest equally felt like they were about to explode and implode at the same time. Every waking moment, I wasn't a walking zombie. I was refreshing the link to see if the killer was going live. I figured I could watch him, and then at least be prepared for his arrival. 2 days ago, I received a notification with an attachment. It was a video from the killer. It was a video of me, sleeping at my computer desk, in the clothes I was still wearing. He'd already been in my house. Not only that, but it had been within hours of me watching that video. He sent several videos. I guess they were to remind me of the rules. One video showed me on my mobile. I was speaking to a friend who had called me, asking about something I wasn't even paying attention to. Another was of my parents asleep in their beds, and the third was of my little sister asleep in her bed. I may be a monster myself, but I couldn't risk any harm to my family. I had to accept my fate. This brings me to earlier today. less than 2 hours before this recording, the live stream started. It showed the killer preparing his tools, the weapons he was planning on bringing with him. I watched it with an eerie calm. I watched as he entered his vehicle and ended the live stream, saying he was on his way. I was still watching there when the live stream sprang back into life. I watched as he walked slowly up my porch and tried the door handle. I watched as he entered my house without issue and made his way silently up my stairs. I watched as he entered my room and crept up on the figure in my chair, back to the door, the live stream on screen. I watched as he sank the blade through the top of the skull of my neighbor. I had asked him to come around and watch a video I'd found. He was reluctant at first, but I begged him less than half an hour ago while the live stream was down. I watched as the killer stood there in silence, not quite sure what was going on or who this person was. I crept up behind the killer, my sister's school tie pulled tight between my hands. I swiftly pulled the tie over his head and across his throat, cutting off the circulation. He tried to resist, but with me being overweight, he couldn't counter the surprise attack. My weight has very little advantage, but when choking someone out and forcing my whole weight on top of them, for them to push back against, I certainly had the upper hand. Chat went mental at first, a mixed response of anger, as their form of entertainment no longer was alive, and excitement due to what they had just witnessed. Another message popped up on screen as I was disposing of the body. You think he was the only one we had? Accept your fate. They're coming. So, this is why I'm leaving this message. I have a bag packed, and I plan on seeing a few sights before I meet my end. As I said at the beginning of this, I've accepted my fate. But it doesn't mean I'm going to make it easy for them. Just remember, if you ever do get bored and start searching through sites you know you shouldn't visit, actions have consequences. Some greater than others.